He just grinned and shook my hand. No was all he said. Take the load off, Fanny. Take the load for free.
Welcome back to RBKD, Monday edition of RBKD. You can always follow us via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. My man KD is at Kevin Dunn 01 and John Reichel DJing us in a very soothing Monday edition of RBKD, trying to get us all in a calm state of mind. He looks at us to relax on this Monday. Everybody's upset, angry after the Longhorns lost. I guess Cowboys fans are probably still in a good mood.
They're in a good mood.
But if you're a Texans fan like me and a Longhorn fan, you're just miserable on a Monday.
And if you're an Astros fan, you're nervous.
And so, yeah. So there you go. More reason for my man John to play some jams that'll keep you calm, cool, and collected on a Monday. So we appreciate his efforts. We're going to talk some NFL here and get to some of the big college football games, get back to the Longhorn loss to Oklahoma State. We'll get back to that coming up later on. Did open up the show with it. I'll get into it in Raj around the day. We'll talk about it in the 5 o'clock as well and in the 6 o'clock and probably for the rest of the week, considering right. The Longhorns don't have a game this week. Did have a Monday press or the Monday media availability. You heard it live right here on 104.9 The Horn, which I don't know whose idea with it, but I'm sure the media appreciated it. So shout out to Sark for doing it, because I don't think he had to. Usually by week
they don't.
You don't have to. So somebody told him it'd be a good idea, or he thought it'd be a good idea. So shout out to Sark for doing that, because usually we don't get one of those on a bye week.
Whoever made the decision, smart decision.
Smart decision. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it's because
you not doing it is not going to stop all the questions that are out there, and maybe you can answer.
Now you got more clarity.
You have a little bit more clarity.
Now you got more clarity with a lot of that, and we can have a more informed discussion about the team in the 2 weeks before we watch them play again. So let's talk about the NFL, because this is probably the most shocking of all the NFL results, in my opinion anyway. How the hell did the Chargers get whipped so bad by the Ravens? I mean, I knew the Ravens were capable of beating them. Yeah, of course, the Ravens can beat you. It wasn't just, they didn't just beat them, though. They put an Old Testament-style butt-whipping on the Chargers. And I don't know if the Chargers just didn't show up in that game, it wasn't one of those games where Lamar Jackson took over like he had done the previous 2 weeks. It was more of a well-rounded team butt-whipping they put on the Chargers.
Defensively against Herbert. Herbert was not great.
Herbert was not great. Yeah, he looked like a young quarterback, which usually kind of looks like an old soul there at the quarterback position.
Can I tell you about the running game for the Chargers?
Yeah, give it to me.
12 carries for 26 yards.
Yeah, oh, that's in a nutshell.
Herbert wasn't good through the air.
Yeah, that says a lot. Yeah, I mean, it's a 34-6 win. You just don't see good teams get beat that bad in the NFL. Texans get beat like that all the time. You don't see teams like the Chargers, who had one loss going into that game, get beat that badly. But give it up for the Ravens. Now we got to start looking at the Ravens in a different light.
We do.
I think we were waiting to see if it was just Lamar Jackson having these extraordinary performances, putting the team on his back, and he's capable of doing that. And he was actually playing at a higher level, in my opinion, than he was even when he won the MVP. But if now he's going to have a little bit more of a supporting cast, and I think just because the guys are getting healthier too on that team, remember they dealt with they probably were the most devastated by injuries more than any other team in the NFL to start the season.
Before the season. With the running back, with everyone going out.
Exactly. I mean, it was brutal for them.
And all three of those running backs who they ended up getting to replace the guys they lost, all of them scored touchdowns. They had a really balanced attack. I mean, you had Lamar Jackson, who had 51 yards. He obviously wasn't a replacement. But Devontae Freeman, Latavius Murray, and Le'Veon Bell all scored touchdowns.
Yeah. No, it's one of those games. It seemed like they just had a well-rounded performance. Nobody had a stellar game for Baltimore.
No, it was spread out.
It seemed like their defense just shut down the Chargers, and it wasn't even competitive. They said the Chargers couldn't do anything. So, I would say the Ravens right now, if you're looking at that division, I thought the Browns would be in control of that division. I was wrong. The Ravens are in control of that division.
The Ravens are. I thought it'd be the Browns, too, especially when the Ravens went out like that. But you can't count the Ravens out. And the Browns now are in a spot. Heck, we don't know what's going on with Baker Mayfield. So
I think he's hurt.
So he is hurt.
Yeah,
and so we did end up looking at the Browns depth chart. And remember, I was going through all the questionable, out, questionable. And we were like, okay, we can't take the
Browns.
Too banged up. Baker Mayfield did, I guess, everything he could in that game. They ended up getting a Hail Mary like Florida did on Saturday to end the first half. The biggest question I have with Baker Mayfield is, so he dislocates his left shoulder. That's been a problem before. But then it, I don't know if you heard this, his post game. I listened to his post game.
Yeah.
It, and I love the Johnny Cowboy role he plays in those, you know. tries to give quick one-liners.
Yeah. No, he does. I agree with that.
It is.
Well, I think because he used to be, remember, he used to talk too much.
Yeah.
He used to get himself in trouble talking trash or dropping little, you know, jabs at people, like at members of the media and stuff. Now he's like, nah, I'm just going to be about my business.
I'm trying to like him because he's an Austin guy.
I like Baker.
He's an Oklahoma guy. I don't.
I know. I like him, though.
But he talked about the dislocated shoulder, and he said, and then it came out in non-contact.
Ooh.
That?
Yeah.
That's worrisome.
So they have a brace on it?
They've got a
brace
sling
on it.
Yeah, they got a sling on it. But he said, yeah, it came out again, and he kind of paused. He said, with non-contact.
Trust me, I know how to get that is.
Oh, I know you
did. It happened to me too. Yeah, I mean, if it's that sensitive and that fragile,
that's usually season-ending surgery.
I was gonna say because that means any hit, it doesn't even
or
take
not
a
even
hit.
A hit.
you can take a move. You can, you know,
just going to pee.
It's like a baseball injury then, going to pee and separate his shoulder.
Except, yeah, that would be such a baseball injury.
But no, I will say this, though. Going up against that Arizona defense, though, that Arizona defense is real. Like, it's legit, man. They start basically they had three turnovers, including two forced fumbles with hits on Mayfield, getting back to that shoulder you were talking about, and that pick. And I think the pick was just due to, you know, Mayfield being under pressure and then probably in pain, too.
He actually didn't play bad.
No, he wasn't bad, but, I mean.
But he just didn't have any help.
And he had fumbles.
The fumbles,
the
yeah,
fumbles
yeah,
and
yeah.
The
I'll
pick.
Give you
I mean,
that.
Turned
yeah.
the football over.
Did have the one pick. You're right about that. And got to take care of the football.
Yeah, just got to take care of the
Kareem
football.
Kareem Hunt went out in this game, too.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
No, I didn't see he went out in the game. But
Hunt went out.
Yeah, I just think that they're too banged up right now. I still think they can make the playoffs. They can be second in that division.
Yep.
Right now, Baltimore is going to run away with that division. And Cleveland's got. Man, they got issues. All the talent they've accumulated still does not necessarily cover up all the flaws they have, whether it be coaching or just being the Browns. Culture. I think it's culture and coaching mostly with the Browns. I can't say it's totally talent.
It's not totally talent. It is culture. Their offensive line just has not been good this year. But this game had to do with just both their offensive tackles were out, and they were missing too many guys. Arizona. They're the real deal. So they're still the only undefeated team in football. They're 6-0. Kyler Murray was not part of the run game. He was not a threat in the run game. He's always a threat, but he didn't do anything. Didn't matter. They've shown they can be physical, and as much as you look at that team and don't think that they can be a running team, James Conner was good. Chase Edmonds gave them stuff, and they end up getting 4 yards a pop and having the balance that they're looking for. And Kyler Murray, I mean, he threw for 229. Did have the 4 touchdowns, but this team is, you could say, they're obviously the best team in football. Would you say, even with 6-0, would you pick them against Dallas tomorrow?
Oh, that's good.
Because that's where you get into matchups more.
I think I would right now. They play complementary football, too.
They do, which you don't think they would, and they do.
Yeah, they do. And I think when people underrate their defense, when you start looking at the player personnel they have, Chandler Jones didn't play. Who arguably could be their best defensive player. He had COVID. By the way, didn't have their head coach or their play caller in Cliff Kingsbury because he wasn't there because he dealt with the COVID list and the COVID protocol. But, man, J.J. Watt on that defense and Isaiah Simmons and Buda Baker, Zaven Collins, who they just drafted. You start going down and listen, man, they got 5-6 playmakers.
They do.
I mean, guys that could be a perennial Pro Bowlers. Usually.
Then they got really solid guys like Jordan Hicks around it.
Exactly. I didn't even mention Hicks. He's a day. Thank you.
But Hicks is not the guy.
He's not the guys
you were talking about.
He's not those guys. Yeah.
But if you have those guys and playmakers, and then really good football players around
them,
man. Talk about complementing something.
Exactly.
That's where you get that type of defense.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The defense is underrated. I believe they're a top 10 defense, along with being top 3 offense. I haven't looked at the latest stats.
I would think so.
Yeah,
the way they're rolling.
I think Buffalo might be the only other team that can say that right now.
So Arizona is sitting at 6-0. They have this week. They've got 6-0. They're
7-0
as they've got the Texans this week.
The Texans.
And then they've got the Packers. That could be a fun matchup. The Packers get their ass kicked in week one, and they're just humming along. Do you see her? Did you hear Aaron Rodgers? He was saying.
Yeah.
So Aaron Rodgers runs in for a touchdown at Soldier Field, the toilet, whatever the hell they're calling now. And he's got this woman who's flipping him double birds, right? He starts screaming to him. He says, "I own you. I still own you.
Still own you.
I still own you." And was giving
great.
The Bears fans all they could take right there. Hey, in terms of college football, we knew there'd be something. There's always something. That's the beauty of the sport. There's always going to be upsets, especially in this type of year. This reminds me of one of those like late 90s years where you just had top five teams. It felt like one would lose every single week. Purdue, this wasn't even close, 24-7 at Iowa, number two Iowa. And I kind of was expecting Iowa at some point to slip up. I missed that a couple weeks ago when I picked against them. Purdue is... they're not great, but now they're in the top 25. They're 4-2. They went in there and just flat out beat them, Rod. And that's where the lack of explosiveness is going to hurt Iowa, because they are a true complementary football team. They just play good defense. They got good special teams. Speaking of streaks, their streak of – they had 16 straight games of an interception.
Wow, that's crazy.
16 straight.
Yeah.
That went away as Aiden O'Connell was pretty clean for Purdue. So you've got another team out. This whole playoff thing, this is the type of year, Cincinnati, if you finish this thing and go undefeated, you're probably going to be in there.
They're in. I agree with you. They needed chaos, and this has been one of the most chaotic years in the history of Power 5 football.
Yeah.
It has just
been
crazy.
Since all this came around. Here's another one that I totally missed on. I could do a four-hour show on stuff I missed this week. Auburn just pistol-whipped Arkansas.
Didn't
38-23. I didn't either. Arkansas, are they just running out of gas now? As you get into the SEC West.
I think there's film out on, that Barry Odom defense a little bit, and that, his three safety look they actually throw out there. And, when they play physical, injuries start to mount up when you play that physical. You got to be deep, and Arkansas is not deep.
Great point.
You know what I mean? So their front line guys are physical, but then you deal with injuries, and I think it's starting to mount up for them.
Let's give Texas A&M some love. They ended up winning 35-14. That was a line that I missed. And Texas A&M, we didn't beat the pluck on it, but put my own money on that, so you Aggies can have fun with that. And Texas A&M won 35-14, got out to a 21-0 lead. And, look, we never questioned their defense, but that's a Missouri offense that put points up. I knew their defense was garbage. Give the Aggie defense some love right there. And when everything looked really bad at 3-2, and it looked like you're sitting at 3-3, you get the Alabama win, you get the Missouri win, and Texas A&M now is 5-2 overall, 2-2 in the SEC. LSU did upset Florida. Not that it mattered.
Some of the ones we missed, too.
I think a lot of people missed that one. And Florida is just having problems turning the ball over. And that was something I thought was going to be the problem with Emory Jones, Anthony Richardson, that fabulous freshman came in. People have been clamoring for him. But too many turnovers for Florida. You throw that many interceptions, and I think it was like five they threw, with Stingley and Ricks out. It goes to show you just how talented they are. Four interceptions, two by Richardson, two by Jones.
Turnovers. You're going to lose any game like that. I'm just surprised that LSU could score that much, but when you have that much help,
I am
that
too.
Many extra possessions.
Right.
And I bet at least half of them were on, favorable field positions, so they probably made it easy on the score points.
Max Johnson threw for 133 yards.
Yeah, so I'm saying they probably just had...
but three touchdowns, so it gets back to your field position. Hey, you just got to fit some in here, and then you got to give a lot of love to Davis Price, who had a huge game, 287 yards on the ground.
Talking about ball control.
Yeah.
So they fire Ed Orgeron after this team wins?
Yeah.
That's so strange.
They had already talked about it after Kentucky, and as I've been telling y'all for a year that he's going to be gone. Yeah. I know. I'm with you.
Right? Because they're going to let him coach the rest of the year.
They are.
Yeah. I mean, I know you called it after he won the national title, so I'll give you credit for that. But why not just wait till he loses again, and then you can just say, it was weird to fire him after he won a game.
I'm with you. I don't know if that leaked out or what it was.
Maybe you're right. Maybe they'd already decided.
Could have been one of Edo's young girlfriends that was apparently at practice.
Isn't that crazy?
Like, the more we're hearing about this, I knew stuff was going on there, and it was not good when the LSU people came here a couple years ago.
It was wild.
And they said, we're about to get hit and hit hard. And that may have been the hospital that they were apparently taking stuff from, or boosters were, or it could have been the sexual assault stuff. That could have been
a lot of stuff.
I don't even know what they're talking about now. I want to call them and say, hey, which story were you guys referencing?
All of them.
All of them.
All of them. Yeah, the
Go Tigers.
The report is from Matt Trent of WBRZ. His tweet was, in regards to what Katie just brought up.
WBRZ.
Nice. His tweet was, with regards to Orgeron's personal life bleeding into his coaching life, sources also tell at WBRZ that there were multiple practices where girlfriends would be in attendance at practice and would interfere to the degree of children of the women taking part in drills with the team.
So his side pieces had some kiddos.
So you just got your little randos hanging out at practice, bringing kids, interfering with drills?
Yeah.
Come on, Edo.
That's no bueno, man.
Come on, Edo.
No bueno. Now, Edo got a divorce after the championship.
Yeah, so it's not about, he can hang out with whatever randos he wants. You can bring the randos to practice.
Right.
Practice for coaches' wives. And, like, serious women. No, treat practice like you treat your mama. You don't just bring any woman home to meet your mama. You don't just bring any rando to practice, Edo. You gotta make sure, you know what I mean? You can't be introducing randos to the guys.
Especially if she's close to their age.
which there's a chance with Edo.
Some of the pictures I saw.
You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. So he was just, I think so, you're right. In addition to, they probably got tired of the product on the field. The product off the field, too, was starting to become very inappropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
And a lot of those people, the 5 minutes after the national championship game, if you would have said, is this going to last? I'd be like, oh, no.
Man.
We're glad we got it.
No, I remember you saying afterwards, and I agree because I said,
sustainable.
We all agree, Joe Brady and Dave Aranda, that was the brain trust behind that championship run, and I think it proved to be true. Speaking of championship runs, my friends at Diamonds Direct, they're on a championship run, man. They are always offering the absolute best selection at the lowest prices with the best customer service. You can't beat that. That is a championship formula. That's why I continue to support Diamonds Direct. I went there for the engagement ring initially, then went back again for the wedding bands, went back again for the anniversary gift. Got a birthday coming up for wifey, and I'm thinking about going back to Diamonds Direct again. I don't want to spoil her too much, though. So she gets used to that. She actually told me, I was like, hey, babe, what do you want? What do you want for your birthday? She said, you can give me ideas about anything. She said, well, if you can't think of anything on your own, just go to Diamonds Direct. So she's already got that seed planted in her mind. She's smart. She knows how to go about it. But I love the folks at Diamonds Direct. Anytime you got a special occasion, you go there. They'll help you find the perfect gift for the perfect price, more importantly. And that's what I love about Diamonds Direct. They have the lowest prices out there. They cut out the middleman, so they offer low prices nobody else can. So go to diamondsdirect.com. You can check out their exclusive inventory there. You also can make an appointment there. You can get an online consultation. I'd recommend you go to Diamonds Direct and experience the Diamonds Direct difference for yourself. It's right there in the domain. Next to Dick Sporting Goods, that's diamondsdirect.com.
All right, let's get to one and done. We're getting back to Texas football. We've been dealing with this for about a dozen years now, and none of us have the answers. It's probably a concoction of things in there. We'll get into what's in that recipe and why things have been like this for so long. This is The Horn.
I like that 5-star recruit at Kentucky. He's been here and he's gonna stay here. It's one and done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
One and done time. Shout out to all the people that listened and or called the post-game show with Trey Elling. Always fun doing that, even after a loss. I mean, it is, if anything, it's cathartic for two big Texas fans like Trey and myself. I hate, like, fake outrage on radio or TV. It's probably why I don't watch any of the sports shows on TV in the morning. I mean, it's just, it's so manufactured and so set up that I don't buy it. And so if someone's really angry and I'm not sure that they're necessarily really angry and it's just an act and performance art, then I tune out. I've been like that since I was probably 6 or 7 years old. I just tune out on the whole thing. So that was genuine. I mean, I was pretty frustrated, and it's frustrating too, because with Texas, they're in a spot right now. I think I have a pretty good idea of where their talent is, mm-hmm. and it's not real high level, Rod. But I also know that I've talked about it, how important this first year is, trying to get that snowball going and trying to get that recruiting momentum going. And you can lose a couple games like Mac did. I mean, they started out 1-2. But if the players feel like you're moving in the right direction as a program, then sometimes it can be a benefit. And like we said, maybe there are spots open. I mean, you're going to play a lot quicker at Texas than you are at Alabama.
Exactly right.
And a lot of other schools, too. You play a lot quicker at Texas than you are at Oklahoma right now. Oklahoma, use that defensively when their defense sucked.
Yeah, remember that was a story.
That was a storyline. Hey,
the headline.
We got spots.
Went viral.
We got spots. Come on in. And this program's close.
Worked out.
The Texas program's not close, but that's part of the frustration that Texas had that 17-3 lead. You're driving, and you may not be a better football team. I mean, they're certainly not a better football team than Oklahoma State, but is it close enough to where you can maybe sneak a W? And when you're up 17-3 and driving like that, and you have the lead like you did against Oklahoma, you can sometimes steal some victories or just hold on to victories that can really change where the program's going.
And that's the problem, too. Too much trying to hold on to victories instead of going to snatch it.
They are take it. Holding on.
Holding on for dear life.
And traditionally, that just doesn't work. It doesn't work in any of the sports that we follow.
Doesn't really work in life.
It doesn't work in life either, right?
Get what you want, man.
You got to go out there and go get it and go grab it. So one of the discussions that we've had, and if you listen to this show and listen to me, you know that I would say of most of the on-air people, I've probably been the most vocal that I just don't think the talent level's that high here.
I would say you've easily been the most vocal. Most people believe there's a high level of talent here. And I think you don't think it's like trash or like terrible talent, but you say you don't believe that it is on the comparable level with top 10 teams.
It's not.
Which the blue chip ratio would say it is.
It is. I get
that. But you saying eye test tells you it's not. And honestly, the record also would indicate that it's probably not that high.
It's
not. As
high
as that those ratios say.
Right. And so, as we talked about, there's a lot that goes into this recipe, right? This is almost like
a
mole.
It's
a gumbo.
What did you call it?
Mole.
Oh, mole.
Like 32, 33 ingredients that go into it.
Yeah,
gumbo's a good one, too, though.
I'm swamp people, so
hey,
I'm thinking
you're swamp people. Gumbo's a good one, too. And so you just don't know how much of it goes into it. Is it bad coaching? Has it been bad coaching? Absolutely. Of course. But I would say the worst part of the coaching, and I'll throw in the end of the Mac era, Charlie, Tom Herman, and now you got Sarkin, who's been in there for 7 games, right?
Yep.
I would say the worst part with those other three was the actual development. Did they misevaluate? Are there some kids, because Texas people are so into recruiting, that maybe get a bump up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course.
Of course.
Texas wants you to create a buzz.
Yes. Are there probably more flat-out busts with their top recruiting classes than the other top 10? Yeah, probably. Guys that either think they made it when they got here or more into other stuff, and it's not their number one interest. But that all kind of gets back to the culture of what the program has been, and they have not developed well. I will tell you this. I think the greatest part of the recipe is development. And with this staff, it's been adjustments around these guys that haven't been developed. Mm-hmm. But you are what you are at 21, 20, 21, 22, and you can get really bad habits. There are people that have been really good at their job, and they just create bad habits, and all of a sudden, they're not that good at their job. Yep. And it's tough maybe to get back to where they were. So were all these guys bust? Of course not. And would some of these guys gone to other programs and got into the right strength and conditioning program and really been developed with good habits and played when they actually needed to play? Mm-hmm. So that may take a couple years and then be put in spots that highlight their strengths and not their weaknesses? Yes, there's no question about it. So we got some people that do some really good work. Mike Roach does a fantastic job, and he's just one. I mean, I could throw out a bunch of them that I was like, I really trust their opinion. I think they know ball, and they're not going to be 100%, and they'd be the first one to tell you that on all these kids, right? But you actually do need top 10 classes if you want to compete at that level. What this has showed is that it's certainly not a guarantee, and now you look at the talent, and I watch a ton of national college football. When I flip over, like, it's not just scheming. It's not just play calling. It's not just adjustments. However they got to this point, and I do think the main thing of that is lack of development and just being in a bad, at times toxic culture here. It is what it is right now. And so we can talk about these secondary guys. They're juniors and seniors. And they're just not great college football players. The fact that Luke Brockemeyer is starting on this team and has been at all, Rod, that tells you where the talent is. Luke Brockemeyer's not starting at most Power 5 schools. He's just not.
No. I mean, I agree with that. It's a combination of different things. I just don't know which one is more to blame than the other. I think development is the biggest part of it, but if you're recruiting the wrong players and you've got a high, you know, bust rate of the guys you're bringing in, that's also on evaluation. It's a really bad thing.
Evaluation has been bad.
And it's turnover the systems, right? Because you got, you know, five different position coaches for players in their 4 or 5 years here, or something crazy like that, right? You got those types of experiences with players. So, of course, terminology changes, coaching style, technique, all that stuff. Hard to master something.
It is.
When you're learning 4 or 5 different techniques of something in a 6-7 year span.
And you would think, okay, well, you've learned 4 or 5 things. Some of those things need to stick. And at some point, that's probably, you know, there's got to be something good in those 4 or 5 things. But I think it gets into your head. It gets into your muscle memory. And the other thing, too, when you're dealing with lines of scrimmage and lines that aren't that good, the defensive line doesn't make sense to me. I don't know why they can't get off blocks. I don't know why they just kind of – I mean, Alfred Collins looked really good in this game.
He did look good.
And he continues to play well. But some of the guys that we thought, and certainly I thought, were better football players, just they're not that good. The offensive line I knew was going to be a big issue, and that has just been highlighted week after week. When you've got an offensive line – there's not one guy on that line that starts for most top 15, top 20 teams. The only reason I say top 15 and not power five, because a majority of them aren't sniffing starting at a top or at a power five school. Kerstetter would be the one that maybe as a swing guy could be a swing tackle for an NC State or someone like that.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where you're at. And that gets back to development, certainly evaluation. And now it's up to Sark to just try and do whatever you can with the ingredients that you have. And I think he's having problems with that. His appetizer is really damn good, but he kind of blows everything on the appetizer.
Yeah.
And when you get to the heart of the main dish, and certainly dessert, you realize he's got nothing left. And so that's going to be on him. But Texas can't continue to rinse and repeat. You can't. I mean, there are people legitimately saying that they got to think about firing Sark.
That's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. And you got to give them at least a little bit of time to, you know, I was talking to an All-American on Friday. All-American first round draft pick, okay? Mm-hmm. Played in the 80s and definitely has followed this program. And we were talking about it before the game. And I said, man, I'm just not totally sold. You know, I don't think this talent is that good. And he goes, it's not. Trust me. He said, it's not. He goes, they got to work around it and they got to find ways to, as you always talk about, solve some problems and give solutions. So that's still going to be on them, but we need to have more of a realistic understanding of what this is. I think it's way too easy just to always go back to, well, this guy was ranked that way. He was ranked that way 3 or 4 years ago. One, it doesn't mean they were right, and two, even if they were right, we're talking about a different product, a different kid right now, yeah, as he's a junior and has not been good at college football. That's on film.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just, I think the thought experiment is, what happens to that kid if he goes somewhere else? If he goes to Oklahoma State, does he become a good player?
Right.
Oklahoma State wanted to say, they killed for that guy. TCU killed for that guy. Oklahoma wanted that guy. So if he goes somewhere else, does he become a good player? Or is it when he came to Texas, that decision alone almost, you know, that marked his fate? Oh, you're done. You're not going to develop into an NFL player. Everybody projected you to be a second, third-round pick, but you got no shot. Like, what the hell's going on? I think it's what Longhorn fans want to know.
Yeah, and so that's like,
that's
why I think development.
What's lost in translation?
That's why I think development is the most. So when I say they don't have talent, you got to understand that can be 2 or 3 things that ended up getting to that part of the road.
Yeah.
Okay, and so we're lost. They don't have a lot of talent. But it doesn't mean some of those guys were talented when they came in. Some of those guys would, a lot of those guys probably would have been solid to really good college football players in the right system, in the right culture, strength and conditioning, position coaches, and more guys that are fit for your scheme. The other reason it's impossible to have guys fit for your scheme, because you've had a million different schemes. How many OCs, DCs, position coaches, head coaches have they had?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly coordinators.
Yeah, tons of coordinators. I mean,
I
mean, just think about the O-line alone. I mean, if you got recruited by Tom Herman in his first year, you've had 3 O-line coaches already then, if you're still here.
Yes.
If you're like, you redshirted then or whatever, you had 3
That's
O-line
crazy.
Coaches. And that'd be, what, a 5-year span?
Yes.
Basically?
Now, is Tope Amade, as a 6-year senior who would be in that position, is he killing it somewhere else? Probably not, but it would give him a much better chance.
Yeah,
it's definitely not helping.
Having three O-line coaches ain't helping him.
Definitely not helping
him. Denzel Okafor's the same way, right?
Right. And also,
three O-line coaches. Those guys are supposed to be able to, you know, plug in on this line of a lot of uncertainty and a lot of young guys and say, well, he's a veteran. He should be able to at least have a baseline of consistency.
You would think so.
And they don't.
They don't.
They don't.
They've also had really bad muscle memory and bad habits.
It's true.
So Sam Cosmi can get around that. But when the NFL scouts are saying Sam Cosmi has a garbage technique, well, so does everyone else. But they don't have the physical talent that he does to get around to overcome that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're right.
And so that is the issue. Development would be number one, but there have just been a lot of issues here. And the more of them you have, the tougher it is to actually diagnose percentages, what weighs into everything.
Well, then you don't know. Yeah, exactly, since you don't really know how to quantify what problem is most detrimental. Essentially, you know, you end up trying to scatter a buckshot and try to fix everything all at once.
Maybe is not the serious issue.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You got to figure out what's hurting you the most.
Yeah.
What's keeping you from winning games right now in this? Be urgent about that.
I will say this. Remember I kept on asking in the offseason about the transfer portal and offensive linemen? Like, they're going to have to go kill the transfer portal with offensive linemen.
And why didn't they? I
don't know. I was asking it. I felt like a broken record.
They need outside linebackers and running backs. And it's like, no, you need linemen.
You need linemen.
You need O-linemen.
Period. And it's the second staff in a row that's come in and I think believe their own crap a little bit too much that all of a sudden our magic finger is going to turn. I'm the savior. No, you need to go get different personnel. Period.
Give yourself some options to upgrade.
And the fact that they didn't do that, maybe there weren't guys out there. I promise you, there were better guys than we see on Saturday.
I don't even remember hearing reports about them.
I didn't either.
Looking for O-linemen. I'm with you on that.
And that was the number one thing I was asking for. Yep. I was like, I understand going to get linebackers. I got that. It hasn't totally helped, though. It was more edge guys, and you're stuck with inside guys. You know, I would open this thing up for Jalen Ford, who actually I think had the highest PFF grade.
He did have a good game. Yeah, made some plays.
Devin Richardson I saw for one play actually flushed something. Couldn't look any worse than what Texas has had there.
Well, I think Texas played like 3-4 the entire fourth quarter.
Texas played 3-4 a lot.
The entire fourth quarter they played 4
a lot. And we can get into that.
Well,
if that's the right thing or not.
I'm not saying it's the wrong thing, but don't take Anthony Cook off the field. Put him on the field for those safeties or corners. He's one of your best players in the secondary.
I'm with you.
Took him off the field to put more linebackers on the field? I don't know if that's a smart move.
No, yeah. I'll tell you, it's not a smart move.
Right.
So there have been a lot of dumb moves. We're trying to figure out exactly what it is. We'll continue to talk about it all week long. Hey, you know what? We need this right now. We need a little off the record. You think this UT is an S show? Oh, Knoxville has us beat.
D.D. Megadoodoo, I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get the rain man comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East. Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F***ing thing sucks.
Welcome back to RBKD. Time for another edition of Off the Record. And this one comes from the world of college football. Lane Kiffin went back to his old stomping grounds there as the head coach of the Ole Miss Rebels to Tennessee to play the Volunteers in Knoxville. And Ole Miss came away with the victory, 31-26. But apparently the fans at the game, they're still not big fans of Lane Kiffin.
Now he was there for a year, right?
He was there for just a year, but they hate him.
Oh, they do.
I mean, it is a lot of vitriol. I mean, they hate him. He said at one point, here is his response. He said, "It's an emotional game, and fans are emotional, but you never expect something like that to see all that stuff flying out of the stands. I got hit with a golf ball, but at least whoever threw it was smart enough to throw a dirty range ball. He said he had a good sense of humor about it, but they threw water bottles on the field, both plastic and glass also thrown on the field. Assortment of other projectiles, including a mustard bottle thrown on the field. I don't even know where they got that, but they threw a ton. Beer, like it was like
concessions,
beer.
Right?
Yeah.
It had to be.
I guess they, yeah, you probably stole it from the hot dog stand.
Right.
But like beer bottles and White Claw bottles and Gatorade bottles, they threw a ton. They had to stop the game and let the team like stay on the field for a while they tried to calm the crowd down, but that never happened. The crowd just kept throwing stuff on the field.
The golf ball, and I didn't see that it hit him. Apparently it did.
Oh,
the
yeah.
golf ball, that's just, man, that's dangerous. That is taking stuff way too far. It means more. It needs to mean less if it means that more.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, they stopped the game. There are a number of bottles with some brown stuff in them, Kiffin said.
You know what that is?
Dip.
Yeah, it's a spit cup.
Yeah, it's a spit cup.
So I saw the bottle that he caught, and I saw that it was dark, and I thought, oh, I mean, as someone who used to snuff, don't snuff, kids. It's disgusting. I was like, oh, that's a spit cup.
That's like,
spit
that's
bottle.
The most disgusting thing you can throw other than like,
it is. Ugh. It'll also get you off snuffing pretty quickly. No, if you accidentally take a swig of that.
Oh, yeah. No, trust me. I've smelled it, and it's just
it's awful.
Disgusting. He said he said he probably wasn't moonshine they threw at me. They probably wouldn't waste moonshine on me, he said. But, yeah, man, they had to stop the game, and they threw a ton of stuff at him. He took it all in stride. He's got a good sense of humor about things.
He does.
But he is hated there in Knoxville.
Yeah, he left for USC. He was only there a year, and they just have never recovered. Now, the students that are there really wouldn't have known about that, but certainly the older Tennessee fans told them about that, and they Googled it, and they were ready to go.
The SEC did
announce today that it's assessing Tennessee, the school, a $250,000 fine.
That's it?
That's it.
That's nothing.
I know. I mean, you get $100,000 for what, storm in the field?
Yeah, that's nothing. That's nothing.
Man, look at Rod.
That's nothing,
Rod wants more.
Concerned they had to, like, I mean, they had to remove their families.
They had
to take his dad
not
and,
just
like,
the
his
families,
sisters. The cheerleaders.
The Tennessee band yeah. and cheerleaders
yeah.
had to leave.
Everybody had to leave because they were scared. If you didn't have a helmet
also
on.
A 20-minute delay or whatever.
Yeah, so I don't think $250,000 is nothing. Probably should have been more than that. But it wasn't an organized movement. It was just
that's the problem.
Chaos.
It's chaos.
Yeah.
And you get into the whole, well, there's 100,000 here, and don't you know, paint with too broad of a brush.
All right,
speak up next time then.
Hey, like I said, I hope Longhorn fans are ready for the SEC road environments because they are rough.
No,
Arkansas was a little bit of a tease for
it's
you.
It's like going to an NFL game.
But they hate you? Yeah, they'll let it be known in SEC world. There's decorum on the road in the Big 12. There are still some manners on the road in the Big 12.
Decorum and apathy.
Whatever it may be. I don't know what you call Southern hospitality.
You're not worried about your health.
There's some rules of engagement, if you will, about fandom in the Big 12.
That's called being an adult.
You could yes, I would say that too. That doesn't exist in the SEC. You better be ready for it, Longhorn fans. Be ready.
It's like these NFL videos that we see of these brawls that are going on.
Yeah, oh man,
why
it's
would
crazy.
I ever want to be in that environment?
Yeah, the NFL needs to do something about that. That's becoming, now they got a reputation for that happening all over
the
NFL. It used to be
it's all over the
only
league.
At Raiders games and stuff
I was
like
just
that.
Thinking the same
now
thing.
It's all, you go, they got those videos for almost any fan base.
No,
what
was it, Minnesota,
brawls.
Carolina?
It was, yeah. Some random, I mean.
What the hell's going on?
Alcohol.
It's exactly
too much alcohol
is
what
bingo.
It is.
Bingo, that's exactly what it is.
Wasted.
So the UT Police Department arrested 18 people. 47 people were removed from the game. I'd love to know the 47 that were removed but didn't get arrested. What were the 18 doing?
I mean,
they must have been throwing golf balls.
That's a great point. They must have got caught red-handed. Or maybe they were just some violent, kind of a violent offender to a certain extent. But I don't know. That's a great point. I don't know what the difference is. Think you thought they would have ran out of room. Maybe they just ran out of room. I don't know how big the jail is there.
That's true.
I don't know how big the Knoxville. I'm sure it's pretty sizable, but.
Well, it was probably already full.
As you were saying, you already got some.
As a drunk tank.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You already got people in there. Did you take 18
all right,
in
Otis,
there?
Otis, sleep this off.
Is that the Andy Griffith reference?
Please.
Well done.
Please.
Well done.
Cindy Kelly didn't raise no fool.
I love that.
Nah, she kind of did, but not with that.
Do you know, what's her name? Barney's girlfriend. Is it Mary Lou? What's her name?
Mary Lou.
What's her name?
Are you talking Andy Griffith?
Yeah, what was Barney's girlfriend's name?
Barney or? her.
Barney's. What was Barney's girlfriend's name?
I don't remember Barney's girlfriend's name. Man. I remember Andy had a couple girlfriends.
Andy was a philanderer. He had all kind
Andy
of women.
Andy was.
Barney stuck with the same woman almost the whole time, and she recently died.
It's because he only had one bullet.
Look, Andy didn't even carry a gun.
I know.
He didn't even carry a gun.
God.
There you go. Thelma Lou.
Good old Mayberry.
She was hot.
I liked more of Mr. Furley's broads, if we're looking into Don Knotts' characters and the women they were dating.
Three's Company.
And he had some loud 70s get-ups, didn't he?
He did. Yeah. He was actually underrated. His physical comedy was pretty good.
It was. Yeah. Big eye guy.
Big
overacting guy.
Yeah.
I'd take Mr. Furley any day of the week over the Ropers. I didn't want to think about Mrs. Roper having sex that much, as often as they played that in the storyline.
They did play that in the storyline.
I was young and I thought, she's like a grandma. I don't want to think about her varicose veins being like, you know,
well, you weren't the demo they were going after,
KD. I understand that.
So you know.
I want to know the demo they were going after, but I understand that I was not the demo they were going after. All right, there's a little one and done. Make you feel better about the better UT here in Austin. Two in, two to go, Texas O'Keefe State. We're getting back to it. Recap that. And where exactly is Texas at 4-3 during the bye week? Well, they're at 4-3, but you know what I'm saying.